Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again and welcome. My guest today, Candy Thompson, writes and speaks boldly on abortion and feminism from a Christian perspective based on her own life experience. In her memoir, Liberated by Love, Candy shares her testimony of healing from an incurable disease and the lasting effects of abortion, as well as deliverance out of the lies of feminism. She gives glory to Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. Candy's message of God's love and grace comes out of a repentant heart of thankfulness while speaking the truth in love. Good morning, Candy, and welcome to Step Into the Light.
Well, good morning, Patty. It's so nice to be here. Thanks so much for this opportunity.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, Candy. It took us a while to finally get it together, but here we are, and I'm so grateful that you and I connected, and I know that you have a very important message to share. So if you would, Candy, just start out by telling us, when you were young, you embraced feminism in a big way, especially when you were in college. What were the strongest influences that led you to embrace that ideology?
Well, my age, I'll go back to the 60s because I was in high school and started college in the 60s. And that was when the women's movement was really coming on strong. And I don't know if you remember, but there were a lot of major feminists making news, and they were very vocal in the, education department. I was in college. I went on to college in 1967. And so I was influenced by, let's say, the educated elite who were promoting this feminist idea of women and equality, that we weren't equal if we were in the house being a wife and mother and housekeeper, that was so inferior, and we were being just held back from our great potential. Well, it sounded good to this college student. And I began to look at my mother and my grandmothers with that kind of perspective and seeing the things that they accomplished as maybe not being as important as my having a degree and maybe doing some other kind of job other than just being a housewife. There were some other things too. I also had an aunt on my dad's side who really wanted me to get into college and took me to college, and there's nothing wrong with wanting a college education, but I also had some family members that were really pushing me.
Well, I was right behind you, Candy. I graduated in 1969 from high school, so I went on to nursing school in 69-70, around that time, and I know exactly what you mean. That was very much the way of thinking back then, that we were supposed to be these liberated female. I didn't really embrace that, but I can understand how people did, because it was very much an ideology at the time.
And the songs that were coming out, like I Am Woman, I don't know when that came out, but, mm-hmm. there were earlier things in the 50s, like I Can Do Anything, You Can Do Better, those kind of songs that, man, instead of, showing us God's plan, and I wasn't, I really didn't learn a lot about God's character and his plan for women, in the Bible, because I really didn't know a lot of the word, even though I grew up in the church. I didn't know that God, this great plan he had for us as women. In fact, it looked like instead that he really put us at second place, and kind of that we were all submitted under the men. And so I even had a view of God that wasn't real. But what we wanted, God had gotten us already. I mean, God had already given to us what we needed, and yet going outside the home and searching for it, searching for something that really was going to lead to a great deal of shame for me, regret, guilt, just more distance from God, and that is getting into the sexual revolution by thinking, actually trying to find love. And, you looking in all the wrong places is that mantra. That's what we were doing and did not realize how it was going to affect our spirit, or how it was going to affect our soul. And it was sin, because I had gotten into sin in that way and being rebellious toward my parents. I got into all kinds of trouble. And one was a miscarriage in college. And that was a horrible, horrible experience. I was in shock when it happened. I thought I loved Guy, and we broke up, and I was left there with this horrible feelings and feelings of guilt and sadness and having lost a baby and really not knowing what to do with those feelings. And instead of going to God, I went, or even going to somebody else and talking to somebody who could help me through that, I just kept going on that same path of rebellion. Met a man that I ended up marrying that I really didn't love, but he was basically somebody that would just marry me and get me out of all that, right? Instead, I was in an even worse situation. So without God and my life, it just didn't get better after that.
And I'd like to explore with you a little further about that, Candy. What red flags should young people watch for when contemplating marriage?
You know, marriage is one of the biggest decisions that anyone will ever make. And I would advise anyone to, first of all, put it in God's hands, trust God, follow Him, and expect, Him to bring someone into your life instead of, the one thing is my parents were involved in this. I basically ran off and got married. And so I had parents who loved me, even though I was rebelling. They loved me, and they could have guided me in a better direction if I had simply just come back to them and been. I mean, I went home and I was there, but in my heart I was rebellious. I would say, first of all, the father in the family, if you have a dad in the family for a young woman, respect and honor him first and learn how to obey your parents and hear God and trust God through your parents if they love you. And I'm sure they love you more than somebody who's going to take you and use you and, cause you all kinds of hurt and pain.
Sure. You know, one of the best advice I ever got that I sometimes give to young people, not that I have that many young people anymore that come to me for advice, but take 1 Corinthians 13 and substitute that person's name. So say your love interest's name is John. John is patient and kind. John is not jealous or boastful. He is not arrogant or rude. And you go through that, and it really makes you stop and think about the type of relationship that you're going to have with that person for the long term. And I can't even remember where I heard that from, but I thought, wow, that is really great advice for young people that are contemplating marriage,
It is. And today, what I would say, too, is marriage is a covenant. It's not just a civil agreement. And if you love Jesus and love the Lord, and I'm speaking to Christians too, because getting divorced, and women are actually, instigating divorce at 70% over men now, and are initiating it. And so when you go into a marriage, women and men together in a covenant that God has made with us, He is in the middle of it. And that is the only way I really believe a marriage can be for life, because God is in the middle of it, and it's an agreement not based on feelings. And love is not the kind of love we really need. I mean, it's wonderful to have those emotions, but the kind of love we really need is that unconditional love, like you were quoting from 1 Corinthians 13. And that kind of love is the kind of love that God has for us. And when we have that for each other, it makes for a wonderful marriage, because we can learn to forgive. We can learn to have grace. We can have God's characteristics in that marriage. I believe that God's plan for a man and woman together were His greatest plan for us to actually show God's glory here on earth. A man and woman in that covenant relationship can show God's character, His nature, His love, the attributes He allows us to have. And we are actually depict to the world who God is, and that relationship is the one that he made to do that, and that's why the enemy is against it so much.
Part of the issue, and I have a Christian radio station that I listen to faithfully. Sadly, they just experienced a fire right before Christmas, so they're pretty much streaming. They don't have their posts like they did, you know, that come up with these little tidbits. But one of the things that this one host on his morning show used to talk about, and I've also read this in other places, when you marry a person, you're under the impression that they are just the most perfect person in the whole world because at the time you feel that way about them. And then when you discover that they do have flaws, you're disillusioned, and you shouldn't be looking to that person for perfection. You should be looking to Christ for perfection.
Okay. Amen.
And I think that's a part of it, is that whole disillusionment when you're picking up his dirty mm-hmm. socks off the floor.
Yes.
And that
that's
kind of
right.
thing.
And that's right. And so, yeah.
There's a lot that goes into that as far as what our expectations are in a marriage.
Yes, and Christians are getting, I know two Christian marriages that are breaking up right now, and it just breaks our heart. We really pray for marriages because my husband and I both almost divorced at one time, my present husband, and mm-hmm. we had gone through a lot of difficulties financially and actually started over at 50 and 54. And yet we were a Christian marriage, and I thought, how can this happen? I'm thinking, isn't it supposed to go really smoothly now? And, you know, we can laugh at that now because, no, but you don't expect at that age to lose everything and start over. So that put a tremendous stress. However, God was so good. He took us to a body of believers who were preaching faith and healing. And it was then that I was healed with Crohn's disease by just standing on the scripture, you know, by his stripes I'm healed. And I found out for the first time, and we've been married already 11 years, but my identity in Christ. And that was revolutionary because now I'm a new creature and I'm no longer that woman who committed abortions. I'm, you know, cleansed from that. That's my past. And so all of that was going on while we were losing everything. We went through a church split, things that were, you know, a whole church fell apart that where I had been healed. And there were so many things that came against us. But later on, it was healed of Crohn's first, and it was later on after we went through a really financial crisis with a lot of things happening again that we almost divorced. That brought on, you know, a knowledge and a teaching and an understanding of covenant. And we recommitted our lives, you know, and really started over. And God has blessed us ever since. You know, he's blessed us financially. He's blessed us in our marriage of 40 years now. We overcame all of that through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony and loved not our lives unto death and, you know, and learned how to have grace and forgive each other. And at my age, I can say I'm the happiest I've been in my marriage.
That's wonderful to hear, Kendall. We'll take a break here where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with host Patty Sheen here on Blog Talk Radio. My guest is author Candy Thompson, author of Liberated by Love. If you would like to listen to this episode again or hopefully refer it to friends and family, it is on archive. The most current 5 episodes can be found on the homepage at pattysheen.com. That's spelled PATTISHEENE.com. The Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page will give you access to all the episodes we have aired to date. Under each episode is a more information tab that provides links to guest website, social media, and other resource information. Let's return to our interview. Let's backtrack a little bit. I do need to make listeners aware that you wrote a book titled Liberated by Love, and it is more or less a memoir of all these experiences you've been through, and heaven knows you've been through plenty. You did suffer with Crohn's disease for several years, and you had more than one abortion. So would you share with us a little bit about that, what precipitated that decision, and what were the lasting effects of that on your life? Because that's a, and by the way, are you aware, Candy, that this is, what is it?
National Sanctity of Life Sunday coming on. And I was definitely aware of that. I want to talk about that too and share that because when I'm through with this, but abortion was not a choice that I made to further a career or to just, you know, so that I could actually, what I want to say is I was in a desperate situation. I had married a man that really I didn't love, but just to get out of dating, just to get away after having a miscarriage of, you know, thinking I was running into something safely, but he was not. I knew there were red flags. Yes, he already had a violent temper. He was drinking too much, and I was drinking with him at the time. So I got into the marriage, and then we had our first child, a beautiful son, and I began to want to be a mature wife then and have a family. And that didn't change with him as far as wanting to be a father and growing up and getting away from drugs or getting away from marijuana. And so that continued with him. And I ended up being mainly the main breadwinner in the Air Force with working outside the home and teaching and being under terrible fights and abuse. And so when I became pregnant the second time, I ended up in a fight where he kicked me. And it just knocked out every desire that I may have had and hope for a family, for the child I was going to have. I was just barely pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I ended up being just in that desperation, hopeless place of having an abortion. Ended up having another one another year later when things had improved. We had a son, and it just seemed like my life was just nothing but fighting abuse. And you don't give up when you're in, back then in the 70s, in the early 70s, and one abortion, there two of them were in Alaska, those two, through the Air Force. I just felt coerced that I had no other choice. Most women over 60% do feel like they are coerced. They have no one to turn to. I had no one. I couldn't turn to my parents. I was already in the place of, you know, feeling so separated. And the enemy did that to me. It wasn't them. I know God would have left an opening for me to escape that because his word says it. You know, there's no temptation that comes to man that God doesn't provide a way of escape. And I know that now, but I didn't see it then. I could only see one option. And that's what abortion does. It's not a choice, because choice means you can see both sides of it and you have a, you know, you have a good understanding of what this is going to lead to or this is. No, abortion just shows you one side of that. But God is a God. I tell people, God is a God of choice. And they kind of look shocked. I said, yes, God doesn't force us, but God also says, but choose life. Because here, and then he lists all of the consequences of our sin and not following him. He is fair and just in every way. And he says, choose life. Women are not being told what they're going to feel, what's going to happen. Some women, even right after a divorce, have a terrible attack of guilt and everything. And I mostly had anger. I blamed him. I had anger. I had fear and just like I said, I could not relate to him anymore and tried to do the best working and having one son to raise. But inside there was a place in me that loss was so great that I could not even think about it. So like a lot of women at that time, you deny, you put that in denial, and it goes out of your conscious memory then, so you just keep going with what you were doing.
Candy, you said after a divorce, but I think you meant after an abortion, didn't you?
Oh, yes. We were married for 10 years. After the abortion, yes. There was a divorce after 10 years and three abortions.
Okay.
I had a baby girl. Between the second and third abortion that was the most beautiful gift from God. And it was when we had moved, left the Air Force and moved back to North Carolina near my parents, and they had no idea what I had gone through. But when I had that, found out I was pregnant, we were actually living with them until we relocated. So I told everybody and never even discussed it with my husband at that time, because he was out smoking in the woods and marijuana anyway. But this was going to be maybe a new life for us, I thought. And I kept trying to tell myself that for a long time, until finally I had a third abortion after that. The marriage was over. He was having an affair and still on marijuana. And so I was left with two children to raise, and with the horrible sin in my life that had happened over those years. I came down with the diagnosis of Crohn's disease during that time and was almost dying until they found it, really.
Crohn's is a difficult disease to deal with.
Yes, and I started taking prednisone. I was teaching school and raising two children alone, never having dealt with all that. And after 6 years of doing that, my life, moving back near my parents and having them in my life and restoring those relationships, I began to feel better in my life. But I even wanted to get married again, but I never had told anyone about the abortions in my family. Then this man came into my life through my dad and through his business. I was teaching school with two children. You could never tell him by looking at me. I had Crohn's disease. I was on prednisone. And this man fell in love with me. I somehow wanted to trust God. I wanted to get back with God, and had been going to church with my parents and the children. I wanted to believe that God had still a man that would love me in my life in the future. And he came through my dad, so I thought, that's a sign.
Definitely.
And,
yeah.
And so I married him. But the abortions, what they did to me was, at that time, I overcame the tendency that many women have to go on to drugs. I didn't do that. It had to be the Lord helping me, but I don't know that I was really turning to him. I managed a job. But I believe all those feelings and the terrible things that come upon women, the anger, I believe that was all like manifesting in that Crohn's disease that was in my intestines. And they were just rotting out, you know,
yeah.
And abscesses. But with the prednisone controlling it, I was able to manage my life. It was 25 years. Well, we'd been married less than 15 years, about 12 years before I was actually healed of Crohn's disease. But I still hadn't talked about abortion. That didn't happen for another maybe 10 years. After we've been here 25 years.
You had kept all that inside for a very long time then, Candy.
I had. And when I turned, oh, yes. Yes, and the Lord was helping me as a Christian when I turned my life back over to him when we were married. And that was, you know, that's been 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I was kind of deceiving myself, and I really, you know, I had asked the Lord to forgive me of it. But I was thinking I was okay with it, and I didn't realize all the emotions that were just inside me. And then I did struggle with depression and anger in my second marriage, you know, and certainly in the first marriage. When I talk about the feminism, women that would put down men and break down their masculinity, you know, I could do that very easily in that first marriage. I didn't respect him, and I thought that respect had to be earned. You know, this unconditional respect, I didn't understand unconditional respect and unconditional love. I understand God's word, but I didn't respect him. And so I'm sure that in not really loving this man and respecting him, you know, there were things that if I'd known the Lord and been a Christian, but we weren't. And but in the second marriage, I wanted my marriage to be good. The feminism thing that I was putting down when I married him, to submit to this man, to let him lead, I knew that I had messed up in the first marriage, and I wanted for him to be the head. But it was years later when I really understood what feminism really was all about and what it had done to me and how it had changed my perspective of God's image of a man. He created them to want to love us so unconditionally and protect us, provide for us and do all those things. And we can tear that down in a minute with our, you know, with our words and our attitudes and our rebellion.
Yes, we sure can. Mm-hmm.
And so I've had to repent and all that. And now I'm a great, now I'm a woman that loves God. And I have learned to honor and respect my husband. And boy, if something comes out of me that's, you know, that I can hear myself, if something comes out that is disrespectful, I immediately repent now. Because God's still working on all of us. I'm not perfect. But, right. You know, I didn't hear myself then. I was so far away from God. I lost 3 babies through abortion, and I went through healing after 25 years in a wonderful groups of women. My husband made these beautiful boxes that I could put mementos in and things, a letter in. We did that, and I put some things in. We named the babies, named them because they're real. And they're just as real as you and I are right now.
Yes.
And I am going to see them again. That's what many women wonder, what happened to my baby? They're all with the Lord. Every one of them, not one has been lost. The question is, will we see them again? Will we choose, you know, to accept Jesus and his wonderful love and forgiveness he has for us, grace and mercy, and all of the things. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus and walk according to, you know, the Spirit, not the flesh any longer. I was in the flesh for so many years, doing it my way, doing what I thought was right. I thought I was smart and educated, but I wasn't. I know I was crying this morning, even when we were reading, and I know I'm healed. I know I'm forgiven. But I'm crying for these women and these babies. We were reading about Moses. The baby boys were being killed, the Hebrew baby boys. Yes. His life was saved, and he saved the nation. He was the deliverer of the Hebrew nation and the Israelites. And they came out of Egypt. And I'm thinking today, my eyes are teared over, and the Lord brought this generation, the millennials, that my children were in. They should have been. The millennials and this Gen Z, these 2 generations that go from 9 years old up to 40, the millennials 40, actually. I'm thinking about, actually mine were beyond that. But these 2 generations make up 50 million of the 63 million abortions. And so when we look out into these the millennials, the 25 to 40-year-old, 25% of them are gone, okay? Gen Z, the 9-year-olds to the 24-year-olds, 26 million of those are gone. 24 million, actually, were lost to abortion of the millennials. Mm-hmm. When I did the calculations of the population, and I wanted to see, 30% of these are gone that were in this these 2 age groups totaled. And that's 30 out of every 100.
Yeah.
Are missing. How many Moseses, how many doctors, how many people in our families, we've all been touched by abortion. There's probably not one that's in a family that had no abortion, very few in that age group. And so I am thinking this has not ended, the sanctity of human life, and we've had generations that have grown up with Roe v. Wade, believing this was a right. So there's a lot to be done as far as the Christian church and seeing how are we going to minister? How have we failed to minister? And what can I do personally? It comes down to our prayer and our our hope for our children, our hope for our families, and on up to the nation. You know?
Right. Yes. Yes, I agree with you 100%, Candy. And I think our churches have, sadly, they have really fallen down on the job in a lot of ways.
Right.
As far as
we have not. Mm-hmm.
Their discipleship and all these things and standing up for God's righteousness. I think we have failed. And I'm not saying, I'm not blaming any particular
mm-hmm.
I'm saying we, the church.
Yeah,
you
we
know?
As Christians have. Yeah. We have.
Yes, I mean, how many times have we remained silent? That's the sad thing. We remain
mm-hmm.
silent and we remain complacent. And that's where the tragedy comes in.
Yes. Yes, and I thank you for allowing me to have time. But another that I didn't make, and this is really important, is all of the effects of abortion, most of them, many of them, have totally been ignored and have totally been hidden and kept away from the public and from women going to have
mm-hmm.
abortions.
Yes.
And it's amazing now the studies that have been done since 2000. I have sheets of these studies that are done on the psychological and mental, emotional, spiritual, relational, all of these, our whole person as a person. You can't do that and not be affected somehow, whether you deny it or not. A lot of times women, like Crohn's disease, I could never have said that may have been caused from all of the pain from abortion. But
all the stress and everything,
wonder,
too. Yeah.
That's right. And so we don't know how far reaching these effects are. We do know that I personally could not handle it in for 2 weeks between two of the abortions. I started seeing a psychologist and then a psychiatrist at Duke University and had a commitment. I was committed into the psychiatric ward for 2 weeks between two of the abortions, the last two, when I had a daughter and a son at home and a husband who was probably running out on me at that time. I thought I'd be in there forever. I didn't realize that one of the effects now that they know is a short break, a short psychotic break. And somebody says, well, how did you get sane and what's going on with you now? Listen, if I hadn't gotten the word of God in me, I was teaching school after that, but I hadn't turned to the Lord. But somehow God helped me go and raise two children for 3 or 6 years alone after that. Then later on, when the Lord brought the word to me, and I realized that his word was renewing my mind and that I was getting a new mind in Christ, that was a great revelation to me. Because
yes, absolutely.
I had the... Yes, because my mother had some emotional problems. She hadn't been in the psychiatric ward, but she was very emotional, and I didn't want to be like her. But here I was losing it, miscontrol, you know. I was losing everything, it seemed, and I was so afraid that I would stay in there forever. And however, the Lord brought me out, even though I wasn't calling on him, you know, and I made it through 6 years with Crohn's disease, teaching school with two children to raise. And somehow my kids are normal. My kids are married with children, and I have 11 grandchildren and 7 great-grandchildren. We do.
Oh, my goodness.
Between the two of us, we have 6 children alive, and I have 4 waiting for me in heaven with that little miscarriage. Peter John is up, and... Mary Hope is my second one, and up there, and then I have a beautiful live daughter, Jennifer Crystal, is my daughter, and another girl that I named Sarah after my mother, and then there was also Joseph, and I was like, my husband was like Joseph, you know. Joseph took on Mary's unborn child as he is.
Yes.
And my husband today took my two children and helped me raise them in a Christian home. We raised them. It was all the stuff we've gone through, the negative. it just goes away when you think of what was God doing in our lives all that time. He gave my children a father. He gave we're losing everything. He healed me of Crohn's disease, you know, and I'm like, the financial was restored. And we sold our company after 25 years. And when we stayed together, God could work through that covenant. But if we had divorced and broken that, I can't even imagine where we would be today.
Where the two of you would be. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
man.
Right. And our children and our grandchildren.
And you weather those storms, Candy, and you come out so much stronger in the end. At the time that you're going through it, it seems horrible. But, you know, once you get through those storms and you look back and you realize how much stronger your relationship has become, and not only your relationship with each other, but with the Lord, and there's
yes.
a reason for that adversity that comes into our life, even
well,
though we may not see it.
Yeah,
at
and
the
God
time.
Doesn't. Mm-hmm, right. And God doesn't cause that bad stuff. You say, well, he allows it. You know, we live in a fallen world.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a world where bad things are happening. But when with God, through those things, yes, I learned the word. You know, I grew in him because when we turn to him, he will not, he helps us, but he was building our faith. We were being transformed into stronger Christians. We were being healed. We were believing for things that we never could have believed for before. You know, it's hard to welcome and give thanks in those things. We're not giving thanks for them, but to give thanks to God that he's still God. And he said, you know, he's going to restore what the cankerworm stole from us. And we know how to fight. We can fight against, we know what the difference in what God's doing and can do, and what the devil is bad, God is good. So,
right.
So that's a deep theology, isn't it?
Well, Candy, before we close, I would like to emphasize one point, and I'm sure you 100% agree with me on that. We have talked about marriage and abortion and all of these things that are difficult topics, but I want people out there who may have been through a divorce, who may have experience an abortion, that there is forgiveness, that God loves you, and there is no condemnation meant here in this discussion. It's just a way, hopefully, that anyone who may be contemplating these choices might do a little bit of research and digging on their own before they take those steps.
Absolutely, because the enemy will bring condemnation, but God
yes.
doesn't. He
yes,
convicts
exactly.
us, but he is merciful, and he is wanting his children to come to him and receive his refreshing. He said that though our sins are, you know, as scarlet, you know, he cleanses us white as snow and remembers them no more and puts them as far as the east is from the west. And
I love
one
that part
in
the east is from the west. Scripture. Love that
one. I do too. I don't want anybody throwing up anything to me. And you know, they haven't. And it's wonderful. My husband, nobody would say, oh, you're a murderer. No, the devil tries to condemn us, okay?
Right.
Yes, that was a sin. But God provided the blood of his own son to die in our place for our sins. And so we're new in Christ. And I'm just saying, receive Jesus as your Savior and go to him, and he will give you joy, peace in the place of all those things that you may suffer from abortion and or sin or things that we've done. And thank you, Lord. I praise him every day for that.
Amen. Candy, this has been a delight. It's been such a pleasure to be able to spend time with you today. Thank you so much for coming on. And again, I would like to emphasize to listeners that Candy has a book out there titled Liberated by Love. And I would recommend that if people would like to learn a little bit more about Candy's life, she certainly shares a lot in that book that you
pursue getting a copy of that. So thank you so much for all that you shared with us today, Candy. You truly shared your heart. And
well, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. And I am going to continue to give my testimony wherever the door opens to get the truth out.
Well, may God bless you in that. Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark periods in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times, strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered. Thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to listen to this show again, it is on archive. Go to my website, which is pattysheene.com. That's spelled PATTISHEENE.com. The most current 5 episodes are found right on the home page. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. It will give you a link to all the shows we have aired to date. Under each show is a more information tab. Click on that and you will find more information about our guests, such as website and social media contacts. I can also be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Pinterest as Patty Sheene. Until next time, God bless you.